Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Pei Aleph. We will begin Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Actually, this is a Mishnah that's been cited numerous times as we've learned in Masechta. It says the Mishnah, Konish Tayalonis B'toich Stei Chaveroi. If somebody buys two trees in somebody else's field, so the opinion of the Tanakam, the opinion of the Rabbonon, has a raise like Konakarka. He only bought rights to the trees, not ownership of the lien that those trees are on. Ramei Oimer had Konakarka, that he owns the land under the trees. As the Rishonim point out, Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah is Ramei will agree by one tree, like Konakarka. The machlokes between the Tanakam and Ramei is by two trees. However, the Rishonim discuss at great length if the machlokes of Ramei and Rabbanon is connected to the machlokes that we've discussed so many times, a meicher be'en yofa meicher, a meicher not be'en yofa meicher. Some Rishonim suggest that Ramei's opinion is connected to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who says meicher be'en yofa meicher, and therefore, even when two trees are sold, he already says hareza konakarka. Rabbanon will be consistent with their opinion, a meicher ben ram meicher, and therefore you have to buy three trees to take ownership of karka. However, there are Rishonim that say that actually Rameyer and Rabbi Kiva's opinion are not the same. And I saw two explanations why not. One explanation, because according to Rabbi Kiva, who says the concept of meicher ben yof meicher, it should be even by one tree. If we're saying that somebody sells is liberal, is very generous, so what's the difference, one, two, three, or two trees? One point. Another point is that Rabbi Kiva is speaking, the subject of our Mishnah, as will become clearer as we learn the sugyas, is about real ownership. Do you own the karka or don't you own the karka? Say to Mefarshim, Rabbi Kiva's concept of meicher ben yof meicher is not a concept regarding ownership. They say a gevaldige raya. The raya is that according to Rabbi Kiva, the classical example of Rabbi Kiva is that if I buy a boar in your property, according to Rabbi Kiva, meicher ben yof meicher, including in that purchase is the right of way how to get to that boar. Say to Mefarshim, would anybody suggest that according to Rabbi Kiva, that I have a right of way to get to my boar? I have ownership of that path? Certainly I don't have ownership of that path. I have a right of way included in that purchase was a right of way how to get to that path. Our Mishnah, however, is talking about real ownership, owning that karka, or not owning that karka. And therefore the subject of Rabbi Kiva discussion and Ramei's discussion is really not the same, and therefore they should not be connected. Hidilu, once these trees grow, lo yishva. The owner has no right to demand that I trim those trees because I have right to whatever grows from those trees, and included in that right are the branches that grow. Furthermore, in such a situation, according to the Tanakhama, ha'olim nageza, what grows out of the trunk of the tree, shaloi, belongs to the buyer. Umin ha'sharashim, whatever grows out of the roots, shabala karka, belongs to the owner of the property. V'mesu, if they die, ein lo karka, I'm not entitled to the property. As the Ram points out, why does the Mishnah have to repeat v'meisa en lekarka? To teach us, says the Ram, that not only the rest of the field is certainly the area between the trees, according to the Tanakhama, when I only purchased two trees, is not mine, but even the area that the tree is on, that ownership is limited until the tree dies. Once the tree dies, so my rights end. However, Kana Shleisha, once I buy three trees, Kana Karka, here everybody, the Tanakam, Rameya, and even the Tanakam agree that I own the land, and the Gemara Mitzvah, and tomorrow she will describe how much land. Higdilu, therefore, since I own the tree and the land, Yishva, if my tree goes past the land that I own, I have to trim it. And will the Rishonim discuss how far, at what point must I trim it? The Rashbam seems to learn that if my tree branches start to protrude, that they interfere with the owner of the field's ability to plow the land, then I have to trim them. It seems that according to the Rashbam, if that wouldn't be there, if it doesn't happen, let's say it's very high or it's very narrow, then I wouldn't have to trim it. Other Rishonim take a stricter approach, and their approach is that I have to trim it any amount that it grows past the area that I own. But I saw Machlokes Rishonim, why? Some Rishonim say, because the tree, the branches, block the sunlight, and therefore the branches of the tree that I own protrude over property that's not mine, they're going to block the sunlight, prevent the Balakarka's property from growing, and therefore I have to trim those. Other Rishonim say, according to that, if the branches don't grow to such a degree that they block the sunlight, I have no obligation to trim it. Other Rishonim however suggest that if I'm not going to trim the trees, it's going to be an indication, and we're going to have such a concept in tomorrow's shiur, that the area under that protrusion really belongs to me, the buyer. Because if it didn't belong to me, why is the owner of the property allowing my branches to block his property? And therefore, to avoid such an error, the halacha is, even if it doesn't cause any problems for the owner of the property, I must trim the trees that go past the area that I own. Machlokes Rishonim, who has the obligation to trim the trees? Some Rishonim suggest it's the buyer's obligation, some Rishonim suggest it's the seller's obligation. Furthermore, Oila, in a case where I own the tree, this case, so everything that grows both from Agezer, from the trunk, or Menashroshim, from the roots of the tree, Shaloi, belong to the buyer. The Mesu, here, if the trees die, since I own the property that the trees are on, says the Mishnah, Yesh Lekarka, I'm allowed to replant the tree. And again, explains the Ran, why does the Mishnah have to go out of the way to say the Chitin? Because we would think that even though the Mishnah is teaching us that when I purchase three trees, I have a much stronger relationship to this property, but not to that strong degree that if the tree dies, I should have a right to replant the tree, teaches us the Mishnah, no. My ownership is complete to the degree that just like if I own any tree and it dies, I certainly may replant it. Here too, I may replant it. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. The Mishnah says, Masech to Bikurim. We know the Torah HaGdoisha teaches us that when we're in Etz Yisrael, the first fruits of the Zayin Haminim have to be brought to the Kohen, to the Beis HaMikdash, where it's brought to the Kohen with an entire ceremony, as the Mishnah's Masech to Bikurim teach us, and the Kohen keeps those fruits. Included in that ceremony is what's known as Mikra Bikurim. There's a whole parsha of Mikra Bikurim that we have to say along with it. Says the Mishnah in Masech to Bikurim, HaKadosh Ne'elonis B'Torek Shel Chaveroi, if I buy two trees in my friend's property, and now those trees produce first fruits, the halacha is Nevi, I bring Bikurim, Vena Kairi. But I don't read the parsha Mikra Bikurim. Why? Because, as the Gemara is going to teach us, part of the words of the Mikra Bikurim is Ashatovi Mi'artzecha, the land from where this fruit grows belongs to you. And as our Mishnah teaches us, according to the Tanakhama, when I only buy two trees, I don't own that land. And since I don't own that land, I'm not entitled to say Ashatovi Mi'artzecha. Ramei Omer, Mevi V'Kairin. I do, says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmu, in understanding Ramea's opinion, Mechayev Hoy Ramea, Apalakeh Peres Menashuk. According to Rameyer, not only in the situation which is described in our Mishnah, where I have a situation where I do and don't own the property. I own the trees, I don't own the property. Will Rameyer say that I have to bring Bikurim? Even in a case where I buy fruits in the street, according to Rameyer, if those fruits are Bikurim fruits, I have to bring them as Bikurim. Obviously, the Shita discusses, if I buy fruit in the store, how do I know it's first fruit? We're referring to a situation, explains the Shita, where I'm aware that this fruit that I'm purchasing in the store is Bikurim fruit. What's the Raya? Says the Gemara, Mamai. Midiktani Mishni Seher. According to Rav Meir, the Mishnah and Masechta Bikurim is sort of superfluous. Michti. Tonet lei the Yesh Loi Karka. Our Mishnah taught us that if, according to Rameh's opinion, if I buy two trees, that property is completely mine. If the property is completely mine, shoot the Mevi Vikairis. It's obviously that I have to bring the Kurim and read the Parsha Bikurim. It's no different than any other tree that I own. Why did the Torah have to go out of the way? Why did the Mishnah, I'm sorry, have to teach us that according to Rameh, when I own two trees, Mevi Vikairis? Obviously. It's entirely superfluous. Elish Mamino, Rameh is teaching us, Mechayev Hay Rameh, Rameh is obligating us to bring Bikurim, not only when I own the trees, Ablakeh Peres Menashok, every situation. Ask the Mefarshim. Al Gemara is saying, certainly according to the opinion of Rabbanan, and that's going to be a focus of the next piece of Gemara, that I'm not Mechayev to bring Bikurim, unless I own the property that I physically own that property. We've had a sugya many times in Shas. Kinyan peiris ke kinyan aguftami. If my ownership is only limited to the peiris, the halacha views it like I am the full owner. The classical example is when I rent an apartment. The halacha views it as if I own that apartment. So why ask the mefarshim, I don't own the actual tree, I only own the peiris, should I not be mechuyiv and be kurim? Kinyan peiris ke kinyan aguftami. Answer the Rishonim two terutzim. When we say kinyan peiris ke kinyan aguftami, it means I rented, as I said a moment ago, the classical example is I rented something from you. When I rent something from you, there's a lease, a year, 2 years, 3 years. So there we say kinyan peiris ke kinyan aguftami. Here, as we learned in our Mishnah, when I take ownership of the fruit of the tree, there is no specific time when the lease ends. It ends when the tree dies. There's no time that we can identify will be the time that the tree dies. Therefore, we don't apply the concept of kinyan peiris ke kinyan aguftami. One pshat. Another pshat that we should say is that when we say kinyan peiris ke kinyan aguftami, where do we say it? Again, when I rent an apartment, as long as I rent an apartment, I could do anything I want in the apartment I rented from you, provided it's legal, obviously. But I could do anything in that apartment, no different than in the apartment that I actually own. But in the case of our Mishnah, where I don't have full ownership of the tree, I'm not able to take everything, as the Mishnah described, and we'll learn more in the Gemara, my rights are somewhat limited. There we don't say the concept of kinyan peiris ke kinyan aguftami. Ask the Gemara, how could Rameyah say that peiris, that grow, that I buy in the shuk, I'm mechuyev to bring mekurim. V'ksiv, doesn't the pasuk use the words ashetovi me'artzecha, land that you own? And says the Gemara, hahulam muti chutzlaretz. That has come to teach us that chutzlaretz there's no chiyev to bring mekurim from. Ask Tosfos, why do I need a pasuk to tell us that peiros to grow in chutzlaretz there's no chiyev mekurim? Mekurim is a mitzvah tluya baretz. It depends on something that grows from the ground. And we know that any mitzvah tlui baretz only applies to Eretz Yisrael. So why would I need a pasuk to exclude peiros chutz laretz? So Taisha says two terutzim. One terutz is that since the pasuk that discusses the mitzvah bikurim also discusses at the same place the mitzvah of bas b'cholov, that very bas b'cholov obviously is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. So I would think since the Torah puts these two rules together, they should so just like Bas B'cholov applies to Chutz Laretz, so does Bikurim, so I need a pasuk to say no, that Bikurim doesn't apply to Chutz Laretz. But then Taisa says, another teretz, very bechidish. Taisa says, that Bikurim is not a mitzvah tluy baretz, rather Bikurim is a mitzvah choyves aguf. It's not a mitzvah that's dependent on the fruit, it's dependent on the person. And the person, the mitzvah choyves aguf, is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. So all of you are thinking, how would we say Bikurim is a choyves aguf? So the Rishonim say two rayas. One raya is that we've learned so many times, if you have fruit for which you haven't taken trumas maisris, that fruit is tevel. You're not allowed to eat that fruit. Let's say you have fruit that you haven't given bikurim from. You're still allowed to eat that fruit. You shouldn't. I'm not saying you shouldn't give bikurim, but it doesn't prohibit the fruit. So you see, it's not a din in the fruit, it's a din in the person. One raya. Another raya is as follows. At what point, a din that we've also learned many times, at what point are fruit mechuyev in trumas maisris, produce mechuyev in trumas maisris? Only when it's nigmar, when it's completely finished, we've learned miruach, even smoother the top, that's when you're chayiv in trumas maisris. Bikurim doesn't have to be complete. The chi bikurim comes as soon as the fruit emerges. So we see it's not a din in the fruit, it's a din in the person. Ask the Gemara, vaksiv admoscha. The pasuk uses the words admoscha, which seems to teach us land that you own. Answer the Gemara, lemuti admas akum. That pasuk has come to teach us a different din. That property owned by a goy is not mechuyev in bikurim. Ask the mefarshim. Remeir is the man, the omer, that throughout Shas says that yesh kinyan la'akum, goyim can have ownership in Eretz Yisrael, lafkiyim b'dei mitzvahs. That if a goy owns property in Eretz Yisrael, the rules that apply to mitzvahs, hatluyos baretz, won't apply to that land. The classical example, which is very relevant, which we're not going to discuss, is Shemitah. So, ask the Mefarshim, if that's Ramey's opinion throughout Shas, why do I need a special limud to teach us that Bikurim is the same, that if a guy owns that property, there's no Chi Bikurim? Answer the Mefarshim, where does Ramey indeed know this then? From where does Ramey know that if a guy owns property, the produce that grows from that property is not Mechuyev in mitzvahs? This is the Makar. This is the source. But there's a fascinating Rashbam on this Gemara. The Rashbam says that actually the Torah uses the word admoscha twice. Once to teach us the din, lemute admas akam, which we just explained. And another time says the Rashbam, admoscha lemute admas ger. That a ger cannot say mikra bikurim. Why can't the ger say mikra bikurim? Because in the mikra bikurim, it says, Ashnishbata lava yisaynu. And the ger, Avraham Yitzvah Yaakov, is not Nishbata, is not a descendant of Avraham Yisaynu. And in fact, based on this girsa, there's a famous psak, which Tosfos quotes from the Rabbeinu Tam, that a goy, when he davens, can't say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avraham Yisaynu. We say it three times a day in Shemoneh Esrei. Avraham Yitzvah Yaakov are not there Avraham Yisaynu. A ger, when he benches, can't say Shenchalta l'Avaseinu. It's not Avaseinu. And in fact, the Beis Yosef, in explaining the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, says that you should not ask a ger to be about tefillah. Because a ger, when he davens for himself, will say Shemoneh Esrei, and omit the words Elokei Avaseinu. But you can't do that when you're davening as a Shliach Tzibur. Furthermore, a ger cannot be the Mezamein by benching, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Because what is one of the jobs of the mezamen? That if somebody who's in that group can't bench, he benches out loud, and he might see the other people in the group. But the person who's in the group may be a full-fledged Ben Yisrael. He's mechuyev to say, Asher chalta l'aviseinu. The ger, as we said, according to Rabbeinu Tam, can't say Asher chalta l'aviseinu. So the ger should bench, but not be the mezamen. Most Rishonim, and that's the halacha, disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. They say, all of us are ger. Avram was a ger. And therefore, according to them, a ger could say, Shechat l'aviseinu. A ger can say, L'kein l'aviseinu. No problem. However, the Rambam does point out that there's a parasha of Vidui Meiser. We know that at the 4th year, the 7th year, when a cycle of Trumas and Meisers ends, there's a din of vidamaisa, you have to say that you did everything properly. Bigarti akadosh min habayis. That the Rambam paskins a ger can't say. First, you want to know why is vidui maisa different than bikurim, different than everything else. So I saw a few pshatim. Doruch Lener says a very interesting pshat. He says in the parasha of vidui maisa, the Torah uses the words ashinishbat lavaseinu eretz zovas chol v'dvash. Says Doruch Lener, fascinating. He says if you look in the Torah, the only person that was promised Eretz Zavas Chol V'Dvash was Moshe Rabbeinu. When we say that the Ger is a descendant of the Avos, he's the descendant of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. He's not a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the people Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to. So in Vidui Maisa, where the words Zavas Chol V'Dvash are included, a Ger is not part of that Haftacha. So he can't say it. Or the other places it doesn't say Zavas Chol V'Dvash, he can say it. Aruch L'Ner's Teretz. Kapis Tamarim, says a very interesting teretz. He says there's a very interesting, subtle, but important difference between the words in the parashas Mikra Bikurim and the parasha of Vidui Maisa. In the parasha of Vidui Maisa, the Torah says, Asher nosata lanu, that you gave us already. In the parasha Mikra Bikurim, the Torah speaks in the future, that you're going to give us. What's the difference? He says, Parshas Vidui Maisa speaks about Eretz Yisrael that we already received. The Ger isn't part of that gift that we received. The Parshas Mikra Bikurim speaks about the future. In the future, Gerim will, when Mashiach comes, because Gerim will be part and parcel of all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore they could say the Parshas Mikra Bikurim. But then there's an interesting vort from Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim Briska. Reb Chaim Briska makes the following point, distinction. It's not his distinction, the Rambam. He says, in Parshas Vidui Maisa, the Rambam paskins, the Gerim don't say it, but women can say it. Parshas Mikra Bikurim, the Rambam paskins just the opposite. Gerim do say Parshas Mikra Bikurim, but they don't say, but women don't. So he says, why do we have the situation that women and Gerim are just the opposite of each other? So he says, there are two parts to our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. One is, Asher Nishbat Lavaseinu, that we maintain the Shvuah that we received, that we're descendants of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who were promised Eretz Yisrael. And another part is, because Kibush, Klal Yisrael physically captured Eretz Yisrael. Says Reb Chaim, Gerim are members of Klal Yisrael. They're members of the army of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, they're in that group. Women aren't members of the army. On the other hand, as far as being descendants, women are the same descendants of the others as men. Gerim aren't. He says, if you look in the words of Parshas Mikra Bikurim, and you look in the words of the Parshas Vidui Maisa, Vidui Maisa, he says, reflects the fact that we're descendants. Therefore, women can say it. Gerim can't. Bikurim reflects that we captured Eretz Yisrael. Gerim could say it. Women can't. Continues the Gemara. V'ksiv ashnasatali. Doesn't the parasha say that this is land that I received? So how could you say, according to a mayor, Parshas Mikra Bikurim on land that, on Paris, that you don't own the land? And says the Gemara, do you have nili zuzi v'zivni ba? The way to understand the pasuk is not that I actually own the land, that I had money that I could have spoken. How do I get the opportunity to buy produce that I could say Parshas Mikra Bikurim? Because I got the money. And as the Rishash explains the Gemara, Havamina Maskana. The Rishash explains as follows. The Gemara and the Havamina assumed that what does Asher Nesatali mean? That I actually own the land. The Gemara Maskana says it's not owning the land, it's owning money. Everything we have, even if we don't own the land, we got through Hashem. Ask the Gemara, Masav Rava, it says in the Braisa, HaKoyna El Il Achad, B'tarch Shel Chaveroi, if I only bought one tree, which as we learned in the Mishnah, even Ramei will agree, that if I only bought one tree, I don't have ownership of the tree, that Loch is maybe an Inkara, if it's like on a Karaka, because I don't own the property. Divrei Ramei. So you see here Ramei says, that if you don't own the property, you don't say Mirka Bikurim. Says the Gemara, Tiyufta. Indeed, Ramey is, what we learned to now is refuted, and even Ramey will agree, the only time you bring Bikurim and say the parasha is if you actually own the property. Amar Rav Shimon ben Yochum Rav Elazar. My Tamad Ramey, Bilan Echot. What is the reason for Ramey? That if you only own one tree, do you bring the Bikurim, but not say the parasha? Or my Tamad Rabbanon, what's the reasoning for the Rabbanon, the Shnei Lonas, that you bring Bikurim, but you don't say the parasha? Amalai, Davish Rishonim, like Amalai Tam, something that the earlier Tamid Chachamim were unable to explain, Tishleini B'Beis Medrash, are you going to ask me such a question B'Beis Medrash, Kidei Levaisheini, to embarrass me? And the way the Or Sameach explains the Gemara is as follows. A Talmud has every right to ask his Rebbe any question, but a Talmud has no right to embarrass his Rebbe. And if a Talmud knows that his Rebbe is unable to ask a question, answer a question, he could ask the Rebbe a question, but not in the Beis Medrash, where he'll be embarrassed. And that's what he said. Why do you ask me the question in the Beis Medrash when you know I don't know the answer? Kedei Levaisheini, while I'll be embarrassed. Amar Rabbi Maikasha. Why is it so hard to understand? Dom Ramei be'ilan echad, svuk misapklei. It's not that Ramei is certain by one tree that I don't have ownership. He's not sure. And therefore he says as follows. Bring Bikurim, because maybe you own the tree. But don't say the parasha Mikra Bikurim, because maybe you don't own the tree. Similarly, Rabbonon, b'shnei elonis, svuk misapklei. They don't know. And therefore, bring the Bikurim, because maybe you own the fruit, maybe you own the tree, but don't say Mikra Bikurim, because you don't. But as far as ownership, the halacha will be that the tree you certainly don't own. Why? Because if there's a question, if I own the tree or don't own the tree, when according to Ramei, I only bought one tree, where according to Rabban, I bought two trees, the halacha is Hamotz Mechaver Olav Araya, and it remains with the original owner. And the Chemda Shleimer makes a very interesting observation in learning this Gemara. He says, what is the Gemara teaching us? If you look at the Gemara, he says it's sort of a stira. On one hand, we're considering it the original owners. Hamotz b'chaver olav araya. I don't have the ownership of the tree, according to Ramei, if I only bought one tree. According to Rabban, if I only bought two trees. On the other hand, I am considered the owner that I have to bring Bikurim. How do we reconcile these two contradictory dinim? This is the observation Chemda Shleimer makes. So Rav Shimon Shkop and the Shari Yosher explains the Gemara as follows. He says in Halacha there's a concept of Muchsik. The concept of Muchsik, which is really the concept of Hamotz Mechaver Olav Haraya, is that somebody who's holding something, somebody who owns something, if you want to say that he's no longer the owner of that, you have to prove it. Until you could successfully prove it, it's his. And therefore, as far as ownership is concerned, if I only bought one tree according to Ramea, if I only bought two trees according to Rabbanon, the original owner is the Muchsik, and it's his until I could prove otherwise. He says Rav Shimon Shkop, the concept of Muchsik is a concept in Dine Mominus, in who's the owner of an item. Muchsik is not a concept in Shilus of Issa V'Heter. And if there's an obligation to bring Bikurim, Muchsik doesn't answer that question. And therefore, if there's a question, Misafik, I have to bring Bikurim. Ask the Gemara, or Mimisapkalei, is that the way to understand the Mishnah? The Ramei has a question if I only bought one tree. Am I the owner? The Rabbanan have a question if I only bought two trees. Am I the owner? Doesn't it say Beferish in the Mishnah, Doktani Lefish Loikana Karka Div Remeya? So it says explicitly that I didn't buy it. That's not the way to understand what the Mishnah means. Ema Shema Loikana Karka. We're not certain. Are you not the owner? Therefore, bring the Bikurim, but don't say the Parashah. Ask the Gemara. So what is the Mishnah teaching us? What is the Gemara teaching us in explaining the Mishnah? Bring the Bikurim, because maybe you're Mechuyif. Don't say Mirka Bikurim. Ask the Gemara, how can you do such a thing? The Kamayah Chulun Lazara. I'm bringing Chulun Lazara. Because if it's not Bikurim, I'm bringing Chulun Lazara. And Rashbam says, there's a Machloikis Rishonim, if the Isser are bringing chul lazara, and bringing such fruit lazara, is the issa d'raisa or issa d'rabbana. Tosfos says that the issa is only when you bring something to the azara, you have to bring it to be over the issa, whether it's a d'raisa or d'rabbana. If you do an avoida similar to the avoida what you do on something that is kodesh, says Tosfos, it is similar. Because when you bring a carbon to the avoida, you have to present it to the kohen. Bikurim, that's also part of what you have to do, that you have to present it to the kohen. And therefore, the Gemara's question is very legitimate. Maybe it's the rice, maybe it's the rabbanon. How could you bring chul and lazara if it's not bikurim? Answers the Gemara, the magdish lahu. That you magdish it. So here there's two interesting concepts that the Parishim discuss about. One is, what does it mean the magdish lahu? Some say, the magdish lahu, that you magdish it b'kedushas bedek habayis. And that the halacha is, that once it's kodesh b'bedek habayis, you're allowed to bring it to the azara. Other Rishonim, however, say, that something that only has, we discussed this in the previous year, something that only has on it a kedushas bedek habayis may not be brought to the azara. And they, therefore, are going to explain that what does magdish lahu mean? That you magdish it, that the proceeds of the sale of the bikurim should be brought as a carbon. And therefore it has a din of kedushas carbon that you're allowed to bring to the azara. Now the question is, when the Gemara says the magdish lahu, what does that mean? Some Rishonim say, the way you magdish it is you make a tanai. If it's bikurim, fantastic. I'm bringing it as bikurim. If it's not bikurim, I'm being magdish it, whatever type of kodesh that we just discussed, whatever type of hegdish we just discussed, and I'm bringing it to the azara. I have other Rishonim. This is the way it seems the Rambam learns. You don't even have to say the tanai. It's automatically understood. So Shof in the Rogachov in the Tzofnes Paneach, he says there's really no machlokes. He says if they were already designated as bikurim, so you don't have to articulate the tanai. It's understood. If it's bikurim, I'm giving it as bikurim. If not, I'm giving it as kodesh. If, however, they weren't even yet designated, if this fruit wasn't even yet designated as bikurim, then I have to explicitly say it tonight. Ask the Gemara, v'gubay mechlinu, if I magdish it, then it's kaidish, and the kohen can't eat it. And we know part of the aveda of bikurim is that the kohen should eat it. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara's question in one of two ways. The entire tachlis of bringing bikurim is that the kohen should eat it. If I'm going to bring the kurim that the kohen can't eat, I've defeated the purpose. One way of learning. Another way of learning, which we're going to see in the Gemara soon, is that the only time that the Torah, maybe you don't have to eat the kurim, but there's a concept called a roi labi labi l'makeves bar. It has to be able to be eaten. And here we have bikurim that are kodesh that you can't eat at all. So how could this be considered bikurim? Answers the Gemara, the parkluhu. That indeed, they should be redeemed. And here too we have machlokes, who has the obligation to redeem it. Does the kohen have the obligation to redeem it, or does the owner have the obligation to redeem it? The Mefarshim, however, do point out that the Ikar Hadin, from the letter of the law, the halacha is that kodesh shechilul yashav prutai. If you take kodesh and you redeem it on just a pruta, mechulul, it's considered redeemed. Even though certainly it's not something that should be lechatchila done here, because there is no other option, it may be done. Ask the Gemara, the Dima, Labikurim Ninu, the Kamafkalim Etshuma Maisa. We know, and we said it earlier in our shir, fruit that grows in Eretz Yisrael, you have to take off Trumas and Maisras. Bikurim, however, you don't have to take off Trumas and Maisras. Here, what are you going to do? If it's Bikurim, you don't take off. If you're treating it like Bikurim, you're not taking off Trumas and Maisras. But maybe it is Bikurim. Maybe it's not Bikur, I mean, and you're mechuyev to take off Trumas and Maisras, and you're cheating, so to speak, the Trumas and Maisras. You're obligated to take off the Trumas and Maisras. Says the Mother Mafish Lahu. You should take off from this fruit Trumas and Maisras. Ask the Gemara. Let's think about it. Bishlam a Truma Gedoyla. You have a little Kayin. Truma I could take off, because Bikurim goes to the Kayin, and Truma goes to the Kayin. So I give it to the Kayin, and I say to him, if it's Truma, fine. If it's Bikurim, fine. Similarly, Maisa Sheini, in the years that you chayiv to give Maisa Sheini, Nami, Yavle Lekoyin. You give it to the Kohen. What's the din of Maisa Sheini? It has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Bikurim also has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So you can't go wrong. If it's Bikurim, he's eating it as Bikurim. If it's Maisa Sheini, he's eating it as Maisa Sheini. Maisa Ani, if it's a year, the third or sixth year of the cycle, that you have to give Maisa Ani, also no problem. Nam Yov Leila Kohen, Ani. Find the Kohen who's Ani. And again, either he's eating it as Bikurim, or he's eating it at Maisa Ani. Ela Maisa Rishin. If it's Maisa Rishin, the Levi hit the who, the obligation of Maisa Rishin, which is given in the first and second, which is given every year, I'm sorry, is given to the Levi. You can't have a Levi eat the Kurim, explained the Mefarshim. So what do? The man Yavle, answers the Gemara, the Yavle l'Kayin k'Rabbeloz ben Azariah. You can't give it to a Kayin, as Rabbeloz ben Azariah taught us. The Tanya, Truma G'dayla l'Kayin. Everybody agrees that the Truma G'dayla is given to the Kayin. Mais Rishin, however, is given to Levi Dira Rabbi Kiva. Rabbeloz ben Azariah, Omer, Af Mais Rishin l'Kayin. Even Mais Rishin is given to the Kayin. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. Some Rishonim say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was saying that the Chi of a Mais Rishin has never exclusively to a Levi. It was always given either to the Kohen or to the Levi. So here, you'll choose to give it to the Kohen, not to Levi, to avoid any problems. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. And Rabbi Kiva will hold, no, it belongs to the Levi. That's why I can't explain the Gemara like Rabbi Kiva. Others say, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agrees that originally, the chiv of giving Maisa Rishin was to a Levi. But we learned the Gemara, the Leviim refused to come up to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra when he came up by the Binyan Bayis Sheni, and Ezra punished them that they should lose the rights to receive the Maisa Rishin. Al Gemara is saying that knas that the Ezra gave to the Leviim remained forever. And therefore, once Ezra made a knas that the Leviim should not get the Maisa Rishin, the Gemara is no problem, give it to a Levi. Others say that not to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion that sharply, not that Ezra made a knas against the Leviim and that knas remained forever. Rather, what happened was as follows. Until the times of Ezra, Leviim received the Maisa Rishin exclusively. In the time of Ezra, as a punishment, as a fine, as a knas, for not coming to Eretz Yisrael, they lost the right to Maisa Rishin. Then after the time of Ezra, so the future generations, the Leviim didn't do anything bad, why should they be punished for what their forefathers did? They, in the future generations, Leviim may receive Maisa Rishin, but the right of the Kohanim that they got in the time of Ezra wasn't taken from them, and they still also may take Maisa Rishin, and that's what the Gemara is saying, give it to a Kohen to avoid any problems. Ask the Gemara, or Vedema Bikurim Ninu, maybe they're really considered real Bikurim, or by Kriya, and you have to have Kriya. And here we say, maybe Ve'enu Kaira, answers the Gemara, Kriya Loima Kevis. If you don't say the Kriya, it doesn't take away from it, from fulfilling the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, V'loi, V'am Rab Zeira, Kol Aroi L'Bila, Ein Bila Ma'keves Pa, V'sh'ein Roi L'Bila Bila Ma'keves Pa. Famous concept throughout Shas, which means as follows. The Torah speaks about bringing the ingredients for Karban Mincha, putting them into klisharis and mixing them together. But the halach is, let's say you put all the ingredients in that pan, and you didn't mix it, the halach is that you could bring the Karban Mincha. When? Says the Gemara Masechet Menachos. The Gemara says in Menachos, only if you brought it up to 60 Yisorin. Because 60 Yisorin could be mixed in one pan. But let's say you brought a larger Karban, which is too much of a volume to mix, there the Karban is possible. What's the problem? You can't mix it. We just said the mixing is not essential. The answer is kol aroi l'bila. If it could be mixed, ein bila ma'keves pa, doesn't make a difference if you did or you didn't. But if you can't physically mix it, then you have a problem. Says the Gemara, shouldn't we say the same thing here? Kriya is not ma'akev. You know where? Well, you can do kriya. But in our Gemara, where kriya is impossible, shouldn't it be ma'akev? And says the Gemara, you're right. So how do we avoid the problem? Dava like Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina. What you should do is like Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina suggested. Dama. Let's say, and Machlokes Rishonim, how to learn this Gemara. According to Rashbam, if the shliach cut the fruit and took the fruit. According to other Rishonim, the shliach doesn't have to be the one to cut it. If the shliach you cut the fruit, and you ask the shliach to carry this bikurim fruit on your behalf to Yerushalayim, or may shliach b'derech, and the shliach dies in the middle of the way, the loch is maybe v'enekari. Such bikurim you should complete bringing to Yerushalayim, but not do the kriya. My tama, the ksiv v'lokachta v'aveso, at shetehei l'kicha v'avor kechad. One person has to do the entire job. Again, as I said in Machlokes Rishonim, what the entire job means. Cutting through bringing, or taking till bringing. And thou says, so here what you should do is, give the bikurim to a shliach, and then take it away, have it taken away from him in the middle of the way. So anyway, this bikurim can't be read. You can't say mirka bikurim, and you avoid the problem. Mirchas Chinuch asks an interesting question. Here the Gemara teaches us that if a shliach takes the bikurim to Yerushalayim, and in the middle of the way he's unable to complete his job, so it's brought, but you don't read. You don't say mirka bikurim. What would be the halacha if my bikurim is being taken by a shliach, and the shliach in the middle of the way becomes incapacitated, that he can't complete the shlichus? If I take it back to my house, I don't pick it up where he left it off. I take it all the way back. And now I go from my house all the way to Yerushalayim. Will I be able to maybe the kairu or not? Other Mechas Chinuch also says, what will be the halacha if the shliach starts and finishes but doesn't do the middle? What will be the din? Is that considered that the shliach, since he did the beginning and the end, maybe the kairu? Or he has to do everything, and if there's anybody else in the middle, ain't a kairu. Ask Ravashi a very poshta kasha, very negel alocha lemaisa. What's the big deal about mikri bikurim? Likri! What's the big deal? So you're saying the psukim, you're saying psukim the Torah, gevaldik. Why should it be usur to say it? And in fact, the Paiskim say, based on this Gemara, there's a big question amongst the Paiskim, people who say Kabbalas every morning, they say the Parashas Chatos. The question is, how can you say the Parashas Chatos? Maybe Baruch Hashem you didn't do an Aveira that you chayav a Karban Chatos for. It's something Levatola. So they say, why is the Levatola? Psukin the new. You could say there's a Pasuk and Likri. Furthermore, Ramosha uses this Gemara to teach us an interesting Halacha Lamaisa. The Halacha is that the Shlosh Esri Midas, which we say all the time by Slichas, people who say Tachnon every day, Nusach Sfard, say the Shlosh Esri Midas, may only be said B'tzibur. So what happens? Invariably it happens many times. You're not holding together with the Tzibur. And you want to say the Shlosh Esri Midas. So the Gra and the Mishnah Berura, Paskin, what you should do is, you want to say it, but you're not together with the Tzibur. What should you do? You should say it, but read it with the tamim. Say it with the tamim, with the trop. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Says Ramosha, you don't have to say it with the trop. If when you read Torah, do you read, every time you read a pasuk in Chumash, do you say the tamim? Most people don't. Al Gemara says, you can always say a pasuk. Says Ramosha, l'aloch l'maisa, that if you're a person and when you read Chumash, you only read it with the trop, with the tamim, which is typically the case, you could say the Shlosh Esri Midas without a minion, the same way you were just saying a pasuk. Why? Because Al Gemara just taught us, Pesukim Inu. It's Pesukim. You can always say Pesukim as you want. Amalei, Shnemechsi Kishikra. If a person says this pasuk, and the Pesukim and Mikra Bikurim, and he's not Mechuyif, it looks like he's saying something not true. And therefore, because of Mechsi Kishikra, don't do it. Ramashash Bered of Chiyama, if you're going to say the Mikra Bikurim, it's going to turn out that you're saying something, you're going to think that it's real Bikurim. If you're going to think it's real Bikurim, you're not going to give Truma Samaisis. We went through a whole sugya just before Namad Beis that if it's not Bikurim, it is Chuyiv and Truma Samaisis. In order to avoid that mistake, don't say it. Points out to Shagas Aryeh. There may be a Chiyiv here. He says, listen to this Gemara. There may be a chiv here to say mikra bikurim. It's a suffix. And just because of the chash, a mechsi kishikra, and just because of the chash, of Dimel of Ginu, that chash is enough to take away a chi of the rice of Mikra Bikur. There's a fantastic tziv based on this Gemara. There's a question amongst the Paiskim. What is the halacha if somebody is mechuyif to say a bracha, and he doesn't remember if he said a bracha or not? So we know the halacha is, safak brachas lahakal. You can't say the bracha. Says the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua says, I have a piece of advice for you what to do. Say, let's say you have to eat an apple, and you don't remember if you made a bracha or not, so you should say, brich rachmona, the yavlon high pri. So if you're mechuyif, you're mechuyif. You're mekayim the mitzvah with saying brich rachmona. If not, if you're not mechuyif, you didn't do anything wrong. It's not a bracha of atolam. That's Pnei Yeshua. Kiv'ega, the Chassam Sofer, dispute the Pnei Yeshua. They say you can't do that. It's no different than a bracha of atolam. Says the Netziv, based on our Gemara, you see that the Kiv'ega and Chassam Sofer are right. Our Gemara introduced the concept of mitzvah kashikra. So if you're saying a bracha, or you're saying anything that you may not be mechuyev to, even if it's not a real bracha, but it's certainly in the category of mechsi kashikra, and therefore the Pnei Yeshua is wrong and you shouldn't do it. Says Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian. The Pasuk says, Udvorcha emes v'kayim lo'ad. Why is the Gemara so concerned about mechsi kashikra? Because our job, our objective in life is to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the characteristic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Udvorcha emes. There is no other words by HaKadosh Baruch Hu besides emes. Sfas emes, tikalad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pure emes. And therefore, anything that's even mechsi kashikra is forbidden to us.